I know some of our people are either vacationing with their families or on travel. So let's continue to pray for them as they come back. And let's pray that they will come back safely. By the way, welcome back the Suarez family. Well, praise the Lord. Glad to see you back. Praise God for your presence today. Well, today we're going to continue our study of Malachi. Actually, this is the last part of the series in Malachi. If you have your Bibles, I believe you have already opened your Bibles in Malachi chapter 3, and we will start. We started with verse 13. But before we go to the Word of God, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us as we stand in prayer. Lord, thank you so much, O God, for gathering us today to hear what you're saying to us, O God. Even in this day and time that we are living, Lord, we know, God, that there are many questions that we ask. And sometimes, O God, we don't know the answer to those questions. But your words, O God, gives us answers to any question, O God, that we have about life. And Lord, as we come together and study your word, we ask, O God, that you enlighten our hearts, open our minds, that we may understand what your words are saying to us. Lord, we commit ourselves to you, we commit our life to you, even as we study your word. We thank you and we bless you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody say, Amen. Amen. What do you think is the most important decision that you have ever made? You know, every day we make decisions. Actually, according to one psychologist, Richard Petty, he said he estimated the number of times that we make decisions every day. He said each of us is faced with hundreds of decisions every day, ranging from the trivial, you know, what to eat for lunch, tomorrow, you know, choosing between good and evil, to priority, you know, picking which is the best or the better decision that we need to make in our life. In all these decisions that we make in our life, either we make a good choice or a bad choice. Now, the question that I am asking you and asking myself is, what is your decision? As I said, every day we make decisions in our life, whether we make a good decision or a bad decision. And our decisions make us. We make those decisions every day, and those decisions make us. A story is told about a new executive who is about to take over a company, a widely successful company. And he asked the retiring executive, he said, "What is the secret of your success? Because I want to follow your lead. I want to become like you. How do I become successful?" And then the old executive thought for a time, and he said, three words: make good decisions. And then he said, what is the key to making those good decisions? He said one thing: experience. And how do I get experience? He said two words: bad decisions. You know, we make all those bad decisions every day, and it teaches us about life. It teaches us about the importance of making good decisions. As I said, those decisions that we make us. Why? Because we are the sum total of all our decisions. Mary Kay Ash once said, "Be careful of the choices that you make today. They will become your lifestyle tomorrow." How true. And every day of our life, whether you like it or not, we face decisions with our walk with God. And from the book of Malachi, we will see at least five areas where we have to make a decision in our life. The first question that I'm going to ask you, that you're going to ask yourself, is this: will you render service to others? The five questions that I'm going to give you today starts with letter R, so it's easy to remember those words. The first word is render, or give service. Will you give service to others? In verse 13 of the book that we have been reading, it says in verse 13, "You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out His requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it." And then in verse 18 it says, "And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and between those who do not." You know, if we look at the context of what we're reading today, these people that are there during the time of Malachi were complaining. They were complaining and arguing about their service to God. And some of these people were guilty of whining and complaining. And what they were complaining? They were complaining about their service to God. They were complaining that their service to God was a drudgery. It was useless. Worshiping God and serving God had no purpose. In other words, they're saying that their service to God was all empty, vain, and futile. In other words, they were saying, what for? Why am I serving God? And today, like during the time of Malachi, many people today complain about serving God. And perhaps you have complained as well. You know, sometimes we think, what is the point of serving God? What is the point of going to church? What's the point of giving your offering, giving your tithes, or going to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? What's the point? Why is it important to serve the Lord? And some people stop serving God because they don't see the benefit of serving God. They're saying, what can I get out of my service to God? Or some of them says, I've been faithful to God, yet God has not blessed me. You know, even more, people who are not worshiping God are even blessed, or more blessed than me. They're more prosperous than me. So some people think that, you know, there's no point in serving God. But is that the truth? Are you going to serve him for the rest of your life? And he said, as for me and my house, I will serve you. There is blessing in serving you. There are rewards in blessing you, in you being servant to the Lord. You know what? In the book Malachi distinguished a righteous from the unrighteous by their service to God. In verse 18, he says, let me read that again, verse 18. And you, again, will see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and between those who do not serve God. You know, righteousness in the sight of God is more than a profession of faith. Righteousness of true faith will prove itself in our service to God. The Bible says, you will know them by their fruits. If you are doing service to others because you want to serve God, God will use you. God will empower you to serve others because you have been using your talent, your ability for God, so that God may be glorified through you. Remember what one time Jesus said, whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you have done unto me. So remember, it is important to serve God. It is important to serve others because God wants us to be His servants. God wants us to serve others. God wants us to be glorified through us because He wants us to be His servant. But the thing is, we want to be called a servant, but we don't want to be treated like a servant. How many of you want to be treated like a servant? But we want to be a servant, but we don't want to be treated like a servant. And we say, that's not fair. I'm not being treated right. But here's the thing. Servants don't have rights. They say amen. They have given up their rights. Servants don't talk about fairness. They just serve. And the Bible, all the great people of God were called servants. God referred to Moses as my servant, Moses. Of course, the ultimate servant is Jesus. The Bible says he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. In other words, we should be following his example. He was a servant. That's the question that you and I should answer. We are answerable to God as far as our service is concerned. Will you render service to others? And I believe that's one of the most important mission that we have in this life. To serve others. To love people. And I believe that is what we are here for in this world. We're not only to serve God, we are to serve others. The next question is, will you revere God? The second word is revere. Will you honor God? Will you respect God? Will you fear God? You know, the word here is fearing the Lord. In verse 16 it says, they feared Yahweh. You know, not all of them are complainers. There are people who really worship God, who really fear God, who really honor God. And those people, during the time of Malachi, some of them were complainers, but some of them are also worshipers. The Bible says they fear Yahweh and have high regard for His name. What does it mean to fear the Lord? You know, to fear the Lord is another word for heartfelt worship. You probably heard the word heartfelt worship. When you fear the Lord, you have a heartfelt worship for God, for who He is, and for what He has done. Fearing the Lord, according to Sinclair Ferguson, is one and the same time as consciousness of being in the presence of true greatness and majesty, a thrilling sense of privilege, an overflow of respect and admiration, and perhaps supremely a sense that His opinion about my life is the most, or is the only thing that really matters. That is what fear of the Lord is. It's being conscious of God as a true and majestic God, and at the same time a thrilling sense of privilege, an overflow of respect, and a sense that His opinion about your life is more important than anything else. That's fear of the Lord. And when we fear God, the most important thing in our life is His approval. The most important thing in our life is we are in God's approval. That we don't want to lose any of His approval. And when we lose that approval, that's the greatest of our dreams. That's the greatest loss that we can ever lose. So the question is, will you render worship? Will you render honor? Will you honor Him in everything you do? And I believe that's the best and that's the most important purpose or mission we have in our life to honor God. You know, when your life is guided by this mission to honor God in everything you do, you will do no wrong. Of course, all of us commit mistakes. All of us still commit sin. But when our purpose in life is to honor God, to respect Him in everything we do, in everything we say, in everything in our life, I believe we will do no wrong. We will be guided by God. We will do whatever God wants us to do. According to A.W. Tozer, to fear God is to know God, and to be stand by the splendor of His majesty. You know, God exists not just to meet our needs. He exists not just to give us everything we need. In anything, you and I exist to meet His demands. You know, remember, He is the master, we are the servants. He has the rights, we have responsibilities. He is to be worshipped, we are to be worshipers. You know, God is not just a big guy or the man upstairs. He's the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the Most High God, the Lord of lords, the Almighty God. The Bible says He is holy, 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 holy. And the only response that He deserves is one of great reverence and respect. So the question that you and I have to answer is, will you render service to others? Will you revere God? The third question in this book that we are reading is this. Will you be rewarded by God? The third word is rewarded. In verse 17, in verse 17 and verse 18, I think it starts in verse 16, it says, those who fear the Lord, those who reverence God, talk to each other and the Lord listens. and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who fear the Lord and honor his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. You know, the question that most people are asking is, if I serve God, if I honor God, will I be rewarded by Him? Well, God says you will be rewarded. And what are the rewards of those who serve God? What are the rewards of those who honor God, who reverence Him, who revere Him, who honor Him, who respect Him, who give God all the glory and everything? There are at least five blessings, five rewards. The first reward is God will listen to you. The Bible says when you pray, God hears the prayers of His people. Amen? When you come to Him, He listens to your prayers. He listens to your cries. He comes to you and helps you in everything that you need. Isn't that a blessing? When you come to the God Almighty, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Authority of Heaven, when you come to Him and He said, I will listen to your cries, I will listen to your prayers. Isn't that the greatest privilege? You know that God Almighty, the most powerful person in the universe, listens to you. And He does not just listen to you. He remembers you. Remember in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16, it says, look, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand. Remember when you were young, when you were still in college or high school or elementary, you know, whenever you want to remember something, you put it at the palm of your hands. You write it here. Like a formula, you write all the formulas here so that you can remember, or your teacher will not see you, you know, the formulas here. How many of you did that before? The Bible says, look, I have inscribed you at the palm of my hands. Your name is at the palm of His hands. He remembers you. Amen? He knows you. He knows what's going on in your life. To God doesn't only listen to us, He remembers us. And then another promise is He will claim us. The Bible says they will be mine. He belongs to me. You are mine. I am yours. I belong to Him. You know, the word mine is emphatic. It emphasizes the point that you belong to God. You don't belong to yourself. You don't belong to the world anymore. You belong to Him. You know, when we come to faith in Jesus, we transfer ownership. We are no longer our own. We belong to Him. We are a chosen generation, a holy people. Amen?
Amen.
Because God has claimed us to be His own. And not only does He claim us to be His own, He treasures us. He said in verse 17, you are a special possession on the day that I am preparing. You know, what do? When you have a special possession? You just spread it, you know, anywhere so that people can see it. Well, you buy, what do you buy? You buy when you have like special treasures that cost a lot of money, do you just put it anywhere in your house? You put it in a safe so that no one can see it, no one can steal it, no one can do anything with it. In the same way, God has made us a special possession. He set us aside to be His own property so that no one can steal us from Him. God pressured us in the same way because you matter. Amen? You matter to Him. You are not just a human being without any importance in this world. You are important to Him. You matter to Him because He pressures you. And then another promise in verse 17, it says, I have compassion on them as a man has compassion on his son who serves him. You know, all of us know that there will be judgment. One day there will be a judgment. But He says, I will have compassion on those who serve me. Just as a man has compassion on his son who serves him. You know, the book of Malachi is not just a book of judgment. It is also a book of compassion. He said He will spare those who serve God. He will spare those who honor God. Remember, we deserve to die. We deserve to die. We don't deserve His mercy. But God gave us what we don't deserve. Amen? We don't deserve His love. We don't deserve His forgiveness. We don't deserve anything in this world. But God gave us what we do not deserve. He spared us. In the same way, God will spare us. He doesn't only listen to us, He remembers us, He cleans us, He pressures us, and He spares us. Isn't that a great blessing? Amen? Now the question is, will you render service to God? Will you revere Him? Will you be rewarded by God? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. The next question is, will you be ready for judgment? In verse 1, verse 3, He says, the Lord, the Bible says, surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness, will rise with healing in his ways. And you will go out and call it like a well-fed ox. Then you will trample the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I come, says the Lord Almighty. One day, God will intervene dramatically in the prayers of His people. On that day, sinners will be burnt up. Those who do not believe God. I'm not saying sinners and saints because all of us are sinners. But there are distinctions. Those who believe, the Bible says, will be saved. And those who do not believe will not be saved. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be sinless in this world. All we need to do is to believe in Jesus, to trust in His death and resurrection. And there will come a time when He will separate the goat from the sheep. He will separate those who believe and those who do not believe. There will come a time that His judgment will come, and the question is, are we ready for the time of judgment? And Malachi warned his people that there will come a time that judgment will come. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready to face the judgment of God? Remember, if you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to be. You will not be judged for your sin because Jesus has already judged Jesus has already died for your sins. But all of us, whether you are a sinner or a saint, all of us will be judged. The question that he is going to ask us is, what have we done? What have you done with Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you made him the Lord of your life? Or have you rejected him? Remember Jesus when he was teaching his disciples, he said, enter the road. What kind of road? The narrow road. Because wide is the gate that leads to destruction. But small is the gate that leads to life, and only some people find it. And a lot of people are making wrong decisions in their life. This is not decision one or decision two or decision three. This is the most important decision that we can ever make in our life. Are you ready for heaven? The last question that Malachi asks is this: will you remember God's law? The word remember actually means obey. The word remember means to obey. Will you obey God's law? You know, obeying God's commandments does not save us. The only way we can be saved is by trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior. But when you obey, you enjoy the most rewarding way of life by being conformed to His commandments. Remember, the Bible says, this is my commandment that you love one another. And if you follow, if you obey my commandments, my joy will be in you. Amen. As I have followed the Father's commandments, so I will give you my joy. Why is it important to obey God's commandments? Because it will be the foundation of your life if you obey God's commandments. One time, during the devastation of Hurricane Andrew, a TV camera crew was on assignment in South Florida, filming the wildest destruction of the hurricane. In one scene, the devastation and debris stood one house on its foundation. And he was asked, "Sir, why is your house the only one in the entire neighborhood that is standing?" Asked the reporter, "How did you manage to escape the severe damage of the hurricane?" The man said, "I built this house myself. I also built this house according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code says 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house built according to the code could stand a hurricane. I did and did. I suppose no one else around here followed the code." Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7. When he told his disciples that if you follow my word, you will be like a building that is founded on a rock. Remember, storms will come. How many of you believe that? Storms will come. And they will. But if your house is founded on the rock, that house will stand. And if your house is founded on following Jesus, on obeying His commandments, any storms that will come, you will be able to. And each day we have whether to follow him or not. All these decisions that I mentioned to you are important. The question that I'm asking you today is, will you render service to God and others? Will you reverence God? Will you be rewarded by God? Will you be ready for judgment? Will you remember God's law? What is your decision? You know, the people of God in Malachi's day certainly did not learn their lesson. They still disobeyed God. They still followed after other gods. But it doesn't have to be the same with you. Remember, there are rewards waiting for those who will serve God and those who will honor God. What are those rewards? When you pray, He will listen to you. When you are in the lowest point of your life, He will remember you. When you feel like nobody else loves you, He said, I will love you and I will claim you as my own. When you feel unimportant, He said, you are my special possession, my precious. When you are feel down and troubled, then you need a helping hand. He said, I have compassion on those who serve me. Today is a day of decision. What is your decision? Let us pray.